Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Good morning. Good to see you. Nishmas David Rachum and Rachel the Yosef. And Moshe Meir ben Yosef. Okay. We're closer to Pesach than we were last week at this time. Last week we spoke about one aspect of Geula Litfila, of relating Geula to davening. And we know that Yetzias Mitzrayim, which we commemorate on the night of Pesach, as we discussed last time, everyone knows that we have a nightly mitzvah, which is incorporated into the Haggadah Shel Pesach, the Mishnah of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, a daily and nightly mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim. But on the night of Pesach, it's expanded. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Whatever the differences are, we understand that that tonight, on the night of Pesach, it's exceptionally significant, and perhaps again establishes the basis for the zechira that happens on a nightly basis. The daily basis is a brief installment, whereas on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, it's much more elaborate. And to remember something, you know, a small recollection is different than establishing the consciousness and the awareness, which is what we do when we tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, when we pass it on from generation to generation. So then it can become something that is remembered with the modest reminder that we provide on the regular night. But because of that, you know, clearly there should be a relationship between the role that remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim has, the place that it occupies on a daily basis, and what we do on the night of the Seder. And last week, we talked about one aspect of it. The role it applies on a daily basis is that Geula is a setup for Tefillah. Geula is connected to Tefillah. The place where we mention Geula, which is the closing paragraph of the Shema, as well as the bracha which follows the Shema, the third bracha of the Kriya Shema, the bracha Shel Achar, Kriya Shema, is the bracha of Geula, bracha which focuses on Yetzias Mitzrayim, the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, and from there we go to Davin, or again maybe it would relate to davening either in the before or after. Again, according to one opinion in the Gemara. What's the relationship? And last week we talked about the significance of Tefillah within Geula itself. That we understand that Klal Yisrael, as we read from the Ramban, was only nigal because of the tefillah, because it was only redeemed because Vanitzak El Hashem Vayishma Koleinu, recognizing the hand of Hakadosh Baruch Hu that intervened at that point in time, and the great power of Hakadosh Baruch Hu that is where we are taught by virtue of Yetzias Mitzrayim, by virtue of what we remember through Yetzias Mitzrayim. So, as the Ramban, which is cited by the Ran, by the Rabbeinu Yoina, says, "Humarash beitech b'Hashem b'tefila kivin shemavakish shemenu tzrachav." This experience of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim teaches us about Hashem. Teaches about Hashem not only in the open miracles, but again, as the Ramban taught, in daily life. And you have to take that emuna, you have to take that belief, which you derive from the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and convert it into active emunah. And active emunah, vahi adav emunah, active emunah is tefillah. Active emunah is tefillah. When you go about life, when each of us goes about life and we're trying to accomplish things, and we say, one second, hey, there's a God, and we bring God into all of those efforts, so then we are translating the emunah into action. And that's geula l'tefillah. And that was the direction which we talked about last week, and noted that while simply tefillah is not a huge part of the Haggadah Shel Pesach itself, but the Haggadah Shel Pesach is actually, the Magid portion of the Haggadah is actually framed by tefillah. When we say Halach Ma'ani and we start, we go straight and we say, Hashat Ahocha L'Shana Babar Yisrael, Hashat Avdei L'Shana Babnei Chayrin. We pray to Hashem, and we say, Rabbeinu Shalom, here we are, and here's the state that we are in, and Lashana Abba, in the future, it should be different. And we end the Haggadah, not only the very end of the Haggadah, Lashana Abba B'Yerushalayim, which is the prayer of the same tone, but also in the end of the Magid itself, when we say, Hashem, you redeemed us and you redeemed our forefathers from Mitzrayim and you brought us to this night to eat matzo mar, Hashem, you should bring us to other mayadim. And don't think that that's just, okay, well, you know, once we're here, we might as well mention something. That's geula l'tfila. That's necessarily, when we recognize the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in what happened, so then we must daven. Today I would like to focus on a second aspect of geula l'tfila, one which sheds incredibly important light on the Yontif of Pesach, on the celebration of the Yontif of Pesach, and on how we should sit and remember on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's from the same Rabbeinu Yoina, the same comments of Talmid Rabbeinu Yoina, where he asks this question, why the Gemara considers going from Gula to Tefillah to be such a big deal that the person is called a Ben Olam Haba. Ezu Ben Olam Haba Zeh Semech Gula L'Tefillah Shel Arvis. Like, what's the deal? Writes Rabbeinu Yoina, Meneisha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kshagalonu V'Yitzyonu Mimitzrayim Hoya L'Yaseinu Laila Avadim. When Hashem redeemed us from Mitzrayim, it was so that we should serve Him. Shenemar, as it says, Ki avodayhem asher hayitzeisu yasam me'eretz Mitzrayim. Hashem says, right in Parshas Behar, they are my servants that I took them out of Mitzrayim. They're my servants. They were servants to Paro, but I took them out of that so that they can serve me. Uvavirchas gal Yisrael, when you say Gal Yisrael, you're mentioning that Hashem did this kindness to us, that He redeemed us. What's our avoda? What's our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Tefillah is avoda. Tefillah is the term la'avdoi b'chol levavchem, to serve Him, to be an Eved Hashem. To be Oved Hashem is through tefillah. So what we're doing is we're saying, Hashem, You redeemed us. You redeemed us, and that puts us into a certain situation. It confers upon us a status and an obligation of being Avdei Hashem, and we're going to act on it. We're here to do the Avoda. We're here to do the Avoda. Now, in a certain sense, when you come to the night of Pesach, that's the easiest thing in the world. On the first level, most basic level, that's the easiest thing in the world. That's the conversation which we have in the Haggadah, in the beginning of the Haggadah with the Ben Harasha, Ma ha'avayda hazayis lachem. What's this avayda of yours? Why are you doing this avayda? You're doing it. Okay, not like the Chacham who says, what's this that Hashem told you, instructed you? That's perfect, because that's exactly what we're doing on the night of the Seder. We're giving over what we were instructed to the next generation. Messiah is to take what you were told and give it over to the next generation. That's fine. But when action, when participation is being done by one and not the other, that's a different story. And the Rasha says, what's this Aveda that you're doing? And our response to him is, that's why Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Lachem v'loilai. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim to do the Avoda. Right? Much like what Rabbeinu Yehuda comments here. And so we understand that there's no failure here at all on the night of Pesach, where we're telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, we're saying it around the Avoda Hazayis Shalanu. We're saying it around this Avoda that we're doing. We're sitting at the Seder table with Halavai, with Pesach, with Matzah, with Mar. We're there at the culmination of weeks of preparation of Avoda. We're here to actually do that Avoda. And we're saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, we understand you took us out so that we should be able to serve you. That's only level one. That's only level one. You check off the box, Rabbeinu Shalom, you took us out. You wanted us to do mitzvahs. We're doing the mitzvahs. But we have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't just looking for a crack force, you know, a group of people who would be able to now do stuff for him. So he says, okay, I got them out of Mitzrayim. They're no longer tied up with him. Now they're able to do my things. And I love the smell of roasted lamb. Right? The deeper notion of Cheirus Olam, of eternal freedom, which we achieved through HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we were granted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the night of Pesach, on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, on the night that we commemorate at the Haggadah, with the Haggadah is more than simply saying, okay, so now we have some obligations to Hashem, which we need to fulfill. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Shekol Mi Amid Varei. What happened on the night of Pesach? What happened on the night of Pesach? We all know the night of Pesach was the night of Nakas B'chayres. The name Pesach is because Pesach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu skipped over the houses of the Jewish people in Mitzrayim when he afflicted the Egyptians, Vespatenu Hitzil, and he saved our homes. Hashem protected us while he afflicted the Egyptians, and that brought about the redemption. There are some core elements here that we have to notice and identify, and would suggest keep in mind as we sit at our table, at our Seder table on the night of Pesach. The first is that what we're commemorating on the night of Pesach is the most perfect expression of Hashgacha Pratis, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's direct, specific, individual providence involvement in the lives of people, in our lives. Listen to what the name of the Yom Tov is. Passover. Good guy, bad guy. Good guy, bad guy. Good guy, bad guy. You know, once upon a time, the first time we have a story, I shouldn't say that, the second time we have a story of mass destruction is the story of Sodom. The first time is the Mabul, and lo and behold, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked up the tzaddik and put him in a little bubble called the Teva, had him build a bubble, and saved him. Okay, but there, you can debate, maybe there were others, who knows. Avram Avinu is told that Hashem is about to destroy Sodom. And Avram Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you destroy the righteous along with the wicked? It's not a given, until Avram Avinu davens, that that's not going to happen. It's not a given. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he will interact with the world, the Rambam writes this as an article of faith, that the world is judged after its majority. And a community could be judged after its majority. Avram Avinu intervened and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how could you have such a thing that you're going to destroy the righteous along with the wicked? And if you read the Psukim, the Torah makes a big deal about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to Avram. Why? Listen to what it says. This is Perek Yotes Pasuk Choftes 19:29. Right? If you have a hard time remembering the pasuk, just think about what your mutual funds are doing these days. And it was as Hashem destroyed the cities of the plain. And Hashem remembered Avram. And he sent light out from the midst of the destruction, of the overturning, when he destroyed the cities that light dwelled in. You understand what the pasuk is saying? It's unbelievable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu plucked out light. When he was destroying everything, he plucked out light. Why? Because light demonstrated some level of righteousness by how he treated the guests who came through. It says he remembered Avram and he pulled out light. So what does that mean? Okay, there are different levels here. The merit of Avram, or the merit that Lot was there for Avram Avinu in Mitzrayim. He didn't snitch and say it's not really his sister, it's his wife. But simply, what does the Pasuk read? Hashem listened to Avram, who said, you can't destroy the righteous along with the wicked. So as he was destroying everything, he plucked out light. And that's marvelous. And that's a big deal. And that's an indication of Hashem's divine providence. What happened in Mitzrayim was that repeatedly, without anybody's tefillah, specifically in this vein. Of course, Klal Yisrael v'nitzakal Hashem v'yishma koleinu. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and he brought a plague upon the Egyptians, a destructive plague, the ultimate one of redemption, and it went like a smart bomb. It hit only that which needed to be hit, and everything else not. That those who put the blood on the doorpost were spared. Hashkacha pratis, hashkacha pratis. You know, it's a huge thing to realize that that's the name of the Yom Tov. The name of the Yom Tov is that about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very, very specific, particular, destroying the wicked and sparing the righteous. Okay, so that's an old religious theme that should be the case, that should happen. But it's beyond that. Because when we speak about what happened on the night of Pesach, we don't speak just about the miracle and about the destruction. We speak about the freedom. Remember, the first thing we have in Parshas Mishpatim, Eile HaMishpatim Asher Tosim Lifneim Ki Sik Neved Ivri, when you buy a Jewish slave, when you buy a Hebrew slave. And the Torah teaches us about what happens. He works for a period of time. He wants to stay longer. So you take him, you pierce ba'ozna yuvadelas, in his ear and in the doorpost. And Chazal tell us, what's the idea? Why the ear? Why the doorpost? And the Chazal tell us, oizen shashama al har Sinai, the ear that heard on har Sinai, ki li v'nei Yisrael avadim, that the Jewish people are my servants. By the way, it's not one of the Ten Commandments. We didn't hear it from Hashem at that moment on Har Sinai. It's at the end, in Parshas Bahar is Bahar Sinai, right? But Oizem Shasham al Har Sinai, Kiliv Neisrael Avadim is, the way many understand is, Hashem said at Har Sinai one dibur, which we certainly did hear, the first one. What was that? I am Hashem, your God, who took you out in Eretz Mitzrayim, Beis Avadim. Says Rashi, I took you out from the house of slavery in Egypt, so you should be here to serve me now. So that's step one of Oizen Shoshama. That's step one of Oizen Shoshama al Har Sinai. And then, of course, the Medrash says, as Rashi brings, and the mezuzah, because it was those doorposts that had the blood on the doorposts on that night of Pesach. It was the doorpost that had the blood on the doorposts, and that was as well, that was when we became the Avodim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To read the language of Chazal, as Rashi quotes it, the doorpost and the door that were the witnesses when I passed over their houses and said, because the Jewish people are my servants. Okay, so Hashem said the Jewish people are my servants and not anybody else's servants. He said that at Har Sinai. And he said it on the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's, you understand, that's geula letfila. That's the redemption to the servitude. That's what Hashem said, not a servant to anybody else. So what does it mean when the Torah is so negative, based on Yetzias Mitzrayim, about us being a servant to anybody else? What does it mean when a person is going to be a servant to somebody else, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out from, redeemed us from forever, from being a servant to anybody else. I want to bring in here, in order to highlight what we're going to try to make as the point of focus, I want to bring what I think is a delicious irony. A delicious irony that has to have something behind it. There's a classic question which is asked by the Rishonim. The Rambam asks the question in Hilchos Tshuva. Excuse me. The Rambam asks the question in Hilchos Tshuva. The question is, why were Paro and Mitzrayim punished? Why were Paro and Mitzrayim punished for what they did against the Jewish people? Why shouldn't they be punished? Isn't it the case that they did bad? Writes the Rambam. Wasn't it written in the Torah that they will enslave them, that they will afflict them? Hare Gazar al Hamitzrim la Soisra, Hashem decreed against the Egyptians that they should do bad. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish the Egyptians when he had decreed that the Jewish people should be enslaved and afflicted by this nation for all those years? Why did he later punish the Jews when they served Avodah Zarah? When the Pasuk says, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to die, and the Jewish people will get up and they will stray after Elhei Necharetz. Writes the Rambam, V'ishalegazar at least plainly hayadu ashiyehu hazayna. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not decree, V'chein ha-mitzriyim, kol echad ve'echad me'aysan, he didn't have to choose to do that. It wasn't destined. It didn't say in the Torah, so-and-so is going to afflict so-and-so. They didn't have to do it. Shalai gazar lish yadua. El idea, shasayv zare asid lish dabed be'eretz le'elohem. Hashem said the Jewish people will be enslaved in a foreign land. He didn't say which land. He didn't say which Egyptian would be the taskmaster. All of that was their choice. And if because it was their choice, that's why they are deserving of punishment. That's what the Rambam writes. This is the Rambam it's the end of Perek Vav. The Rambam has here three chapters about Bechira. Under Perek Hei, Perek Vav, Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tshuva, the Rambam writes about Bechira, about free choice as a foundational principle of the Torah. And in there he asked this famous question. Why was Paro punished? And this is not the question about why was Paro punished when Hashem hardened his heart. That's a separate question which he also deals with. This is the question about the whole thing. Why was he punished? And the answer is because it didn't have his name on it. He didn't have to do it. It was completely his choice. He chose to do it. Why is that a delicious irony? When you speak about Hashgacha Pratis, when you speak about divine providence, you speak about something which is specifically destined for this person. Now, when it's Hashgacha Pratis as reward and punishment, so then you understand well that there's a Hashgacha Pratis of, okay, the person did the mitzvah, so therefore they deserve to have good, and this person did a terrible avera, so therefore they deserve to have bad. But there's another aspect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Hashem's Hashgacha, of Hashem's divine providence, and that is that I had something that was specifically in mind for you. The story of Geulas Mitzrayim, the story of the Jewish people being redeemed from Mitzrayim, Goy Mikar of Goy, one nation being plucked out from the midst of another nation, is not just the story of the righteous over the wicked, And it's not even just the story of HaKadosh Baruch Hu hearing the prayers of the Jewish people. Those are all elements. But a critical element is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had established, to begin with, in the days of Avram Avinu, a bris, a covenant with Avram. And the Jewish people therefore had a purpose and a destiny. They had what they were to be about. And in Mitzrayim, we were being distanced and deprived of being able to meet that destiny. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaching out in Geulas Mitzrayim was to allow us to do what we were destined to do. And the nation that stood in the way of us doing it was not fulfilling its destiny. It wasn't fulfilling its destiny. If it was fulfilling its destiny, it wouldn't have been punished. If it was fulfilling its destiny, it wouldn't have been considered its bechira. It was making a choice. It could have done something else. It could have chosen a different path. It wasn't its destiny. The Klal Yisrael, with its shirais, with its song on one side, and Mitzrayim, with its bechi, with its tears on the other side, which is what we call Yitzias Mitzrayim. Motzi Asirim Bakosharos is the Jewish people are singing and the Egyptians are screaming, which you might say was at Kriyas Yamsuf. It was really on the night of Pesach. It says there was Tza'aka Gedayla B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. It doesn't describe screaming at Kriyas Yamsuf. It describes on the night of Pesach there was screaming in Mitzrayim. Every house there was a dead B'chor Lo'alein Rachman Olitzlan. There was screaming that was never heard before. And Klal Yisrael was already, they didn't quite say the full Shira, they were already, to some degree, in Shira mode. It was the difference between a people who were now being plucked out of being subject to somebody else in order to achieve what they existed for, what their destiny was, to a people who had made a choice to do something, to collide with the B'nai Yisrael. It wasn't their destiny. It wasn't what they had to do. It was something very, very negative which they had chosen to do. Avodim, a servant, if they're a servant of the God who created them, so then, by definition, they are fulfilling their destiny. Service to the one who created you is not quashing your identity. It's realizing your identity. It's actualizing your identity. He created you. I was going to say, for God's sake. Right? He created you, right? And he's saying, okay, now this is what I want you to do. That's the ultimate self-realization. But when somebody else says, I want you to do my bidding, I own you, and now you do what I want, then you don't have your destiny. You're not fulfilling your destiny. The opposite. That's the contradiction of destiny. The Cherus, the freedom which Hashem gave us on the night of Pesach, when we sit around the Seder and we do the Avoda that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, do this Avoda so you can come out of Mitzrayim. Do this Avoda because it's the beginning of what you're coming out of Mitzrayim for. Vayotzeis Amo Yisrael mitocham lecherus olam. Recognize that the blood on the doorposts, that the blends together with the sound of Hashem at Har Sinai, speaking to us, and it's all saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you to do what you were created to do. I don't want you to be like the Egyptians. Everything they did, and that's why they're being punished. Yeah, they played a big role in history. It was a negative role. And nobody is destined for a negative role. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries over the destruction of the Egyptians, Ma'aseh Yadai Tovim B'yam Va'atem Ha'imim Shira, because nobody was created for a negative role. People choose a negative role. But nobody's created for a negative role. Let's... Okay, so... Good? Everybody okay? Let's take this further. Further in to the concept of avdus. There's a key principle which we learned many times around this table at this time when we learned the Sifrei Maharal, and especially when we learned the Sefer Gvuras Hashem of the Maharal, which is the Maharal's work on Yetzias Mitzrayim, where the Maharal uses terminology which is found in the earliest sources. It's also, by the way, terminology which is used in ancient philosophical sources, and that's the terminology of Chaymer Vetzura. Chaymer Vetzura means matter and form. Matter and form. Matter is just the raw material without shape, without being designed into any specific form. Chaymer, right? We always speak about it as an example, the ball of Play-Doh, right? Someone brings this ball of Play-Doh into existence. Right? We can't, no human being, the law of conservation of matter, no human being can bring such a thing into existence. But, okay, the Rabbanu Shalom creates Chaymer, Bereishis Bara Elokim. We happen to have a resident expert on that pasuk here. Alright, so Bereishis Bara Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the raw matter, the ball of clay. And then you have the next phase is that you shape the ball of clay into something. That's Tzura. When you shape the ball of clay in something, you give it purpose. You give it purpose. The raw matter has no defined purpose. It can be used for anything. Once you give it purpose, then it's a different story. One of the images which we use when we talk about this is, so if you have a ball of clay, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to make this ball of clay a little bit smaller, and you take a little clump of the clay, and you take it, and you throw it off into the corner. You still have a ball of clay. And you could still make a dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. Right? You could make whatever you want out of it. But if you shape it into the dreidel, you shape it into the cup. And then you say, you know what, I'm just going to take a little piece off of it. What happens? Now you have a damaged cup. Or you have a damaged dreidel. Because it had a purpose. That piece of raw matter, which previously had no purpose, had no place in anything. And so if it's gone, nobody will notice. You can still make a dreidel. You could still make a cup out of what remains. But when it's given a purpose, when it's part of the tzura is the direction for it. So then, when it's taken out, you've lost some of that which the purpose is there to achieve. Yetzias Mitzrayim is the move from one extreme to the other. Mitzrayim is considered to be the ultimate chaymer. In the way Chazal Psukim present it, right? The pasuk says about the Mitzrim, Asher Besar Chamayrim Besaram. Their flesh is the flesh of Chamayrim, of the donkeys. Right, chamer, the donkey, is considered the ultimate chaymer. Why is it the ultimate chaymer? A donkey is the ultimate chaymer because it's a schlepper, right? A donkey doesn't seem, in a certain sense, to have a mind of its own. It's just a beast of burden. It just carries and works that way. Less so than other things. Moshe Rabbeinu, who took the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. So you might remember the Maharal writes about this beautifully, extensively. Moshe Rabbeinu was min hamayim mishisuhu. He was drawn out from the water. Water, in a certain sense, and if the chamor is the ultimate physicality when it comes to an animal, to a living thing, water is the ultimate shapeless matter. Why? Because water has no shape. It assumes the shape of whatever vessel you put it in. And that means that it has no self-definition. Moshe Rabbeinu was drawn out of the water because he was the ultimate in definition. Raw matter is something which could go this way, could go that way. But Moshe Rabbeinu was the person who HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to him and through him the Torah. The Torah defines purpose, specificity, a destiny. It's a direction. Everything is directed and shaped within the framework of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was not maybe this way, maybe that way. The opposite. Yikov hadin es hahar. It's got to be this way. That's the vision of Torah. And Mitzrayim is the very opposite. It could be anything. It could be anything. In case of Moshe, you know, it has to be something. It has to be something specific. And that's a contrast. And you understand that when you deal with the idea of a person being an Eved, of the Jewish people being Avadim, in a sense, that's exactly who they should be Avadim to, the Egyptians. Why? Because what's the tragedy of Avdus? What's the tragedy of slavery to another person? Is you had a purpose, you had a mission, you had a destiny, but now this person owns it and is therefore co-opting that. They're forcing themselves upon it. So it's the Egyptians, the Mitzrim, who themselves are seen as those who have no shape and no destiny. They're the ultimate chomer. They could do anything. So the enslavement of the individual is taking the person who had to do something, who was destined to do something, who was supposed to do something, and say, you know what, you're going to do something else. That's robbing the person, or the nation in this case, of its essence, of what it's all about. And that's imposed on Klal Yisrael by Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, again, who is punished for what they did because they didn't have to do it. Anybody could have done it. Don't say it was your destiny to do that. It wasn't your destiny to do that. Hashem said the Jewish people will be enslaved. You didn't have to do it. That's the Egyptian. I mean, the Egyptians can't deny that. We could do this. We could do that. Are you ready for one more step? This step is like... Okay? So I warn you. Hold on to your socks. This step I want to attribute completely and totally to my Rabbi, Rav Moshe Shapira. We'll say in the Haggadah, V'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim v'laylo hazeh, v'keitzko b'chol be'eretz Mitzrayim. So in the Haggadah we say, I should read it to you. I'm sorry.
Exactly.
I may have moved around the furniture, but the books are still where I left them. It says in that brief recap of the story, the thumbnail sketch of Yitzia of Golos Ugulas Mitzrayim that we read from Parshas Kisavo, from the Bikurim, and Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, right, with a great strong hand, with an Asher Sharm, Not through an angel, not through a fiery angel, not through an agent. But Hashem, with His honor and with Himself, etc. I myself, nobody else. What does it mean, bichvaydai uvatzmai? It's an expression, by the way, which people use in the vernacular when they say, oh, he showed up, bichvaydai uvatzmai. No, you ever hear that expression? He showed, wow, bichvaydai uvatzmai, he himself. But it's two words, bichvaydai, in his honor, uvatzmai, and in himself. I never thought about this in my life. Did you ever think about it in your life? Like, what does that mean? What's that double expression? I've said it 1,000 times. What does it mean? Explained Rabbi Shapira. Incredible, beautiful. Bechvaydei v'atzmai. Kvaydei, honor. It takes someone else for honor. Right? Honor is how someone reacts to you. You have no kvayd if you're alone, in a certain sense. Well, one might say, the true kavod of a person is a person's ability to some degree to be alone. But kavod is expressed. Kavod is expressed in the reaction which is elicited from others. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared at Har Sinai, it was Mara Kavod Hashem. Hashem came down to the world, and it was the appearance of the honor of Hashem. It was revelation. There had to be an element of revelation to call it kavod. Kavod is the striking, honored revelation of Hashem's presence amongst the Jewish people. Atzmai is Hashem's self. Right? Atzmai is like, ba'atzmo means by himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came through Mitzrayim b'chvaydai, revealed, and ba'atzmai, and with his essence. His essence is his essence whether anybody sees it or not. In Chazal, and in Rishonim, v'acharonim, they say, how did Hashem strike the Egyptians? What was it? Was it a sword? Was it a poison? Was it what killed the Egyptians? What killed the Egyptians was the Ribbono Shel Olam. The fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam passed through and they saw the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what killed the Egyptians. And what saved the Jewish people was that they saw the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does that mean? There's one thing about the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Ani Hashem Ani Hu. The Ribbono Shel Olam is who He is because it is Him. Nobody created Him. Nobody influenced or shaped Him. He is who He is. There's no greater picture of a destiny or a purpose of somebody built for a specific thing and not being waylaid into being something else than the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. And a human being is supposed to strive to be the same. A human being was created to be themselves. Hashem created us, so there's a gap, right? There's a gap. Oh, we are who we are because of the Ribbono Shel Olam, because Hashem made us. But this, as Ramchal explains in Derech Hashem, this is why Hashem makes it that we have to choose. We have to choose to be ourselves. Because if we didn't choose to be ourselves, then we would be ourselves just because Hashem made us that way. And what's the difference between being you because Hashem made you that way, or being you because your society and your culture made you that way, or being you because of any other force? If you want to be B'Tzelem Elohim, if you want to be like God, you have to be because of you. And Klal Yisrael tapped into that. That's the ultimate Tzelem Elohim. When Hashem revealed Himself, and Hashem revealed Himself with His essence, b'chvaydai uva'atzmai, b'chvaydai we saw, but ba'atzmai what we saw was Him, was Him. To us, that spelled liberation. That was what freed us from Mitzrayim. Because what freed us from Mitzrayim, what the freedom of Mitzrayim spells is, do what you are. Do what you are made for. And by the way, God made you, so He knows what you are made for. You'll have to choose yourself to be yourself. But that's what you will be. To the Egyptians, it was devastating. To be a specific thing that we were made for, our whole Metzius, our whole essence, has a different definition of freedom. And that definition of freedom is, I could be whatever I want. I'm Chaymer, I'm raw matter. You can make me into a dreidel, you can make me into a cup, you can make me into a bowl, you can make anything. The moment of Geulas Mitzrayim. So again, like just follow the steps. Geula is so we could serve Hashem. Serving Hashem isn't just a job or a task. Serving Hashem is doing what we were made to do. Because actually, Hashem made us. So therefore, when He redeems us and tells us, okay, this is what I want you to do, that's meeting up with our destiny. And the reason why Geulas Mitzrayim, the fundamental message of Geulas Mitzrayim is, don't work for somebody else. Don't be enslaved by somebody else, because then you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're doing what somebody else is supposed to do. And the way we achieved that was by encountering the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Ba'atzmai, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in His essence, which is the ultimate in being, in an unmovable, unshakable, unformable by anything else, being. And that, encountering that, that's what blew the lid off of Golos Mitzrayim. And it left the Jewish people standing tall and the Egyptians lost, destroyed. Freedom is not the ability to just choose whatever we want to do. Freedom is the ability to be what we are supposed to be, what we were created in order to be. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls us out of Mitzrayim, it's, hey, what are they doing there? They don't belong there. We defined a long time ago, in the days of Avram, what he and his children were supposed to be. How could it be? This is what they were destined to be. We set that up. They can't be in there. They're being deprived of their destiny. Not their suffering. Not their enslaved. Not their crying. Not their throwing. They're being deprived of their destiny. May I add an akuda that Rav Moshe said, which is just gorgeous. He said, that's why there's an interesting halacha when it comes to the Korban Pesach. Halacha is ve'etzem loisish brubai. You can't break a bone in the Korban Pesach. Why? Okay, everyone knows, you know, it's maybe you look satisfied if you're breaking bones to get to the marrow. You're supposed to eat it al hasavet. Maybe it's not dignified. The reason it says b'chvaydai uva'atzmai. every being has a core structure. Right? It has flesh on the bones. The flesh could be more, the flesh could be less. It depends where you're holding on your diet cycle. Right? The bone is the etzem. The bone is the etzem. The bone is the core. Ba'atzmai. It's the same word. The whole message of Geulas Mitzrayim is etzem loy sishbaru. You can't break the essence. You can't break the essence. You can distract a little bit here, take a little flesh. You can't break the essence. Etzem loy sishbaru. Deliciously rich. Beautiful. Etzem leisish probai. So this is the idea. This is the idea. This is when we sit down at the night of the Seder. When we're remembering it, and we're remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we think about this is the night of the most incredible Hashgacha Pratis. Right? Normally, in a world, it can happen that there'll be a Le'Aleinu or Rachman al San, something which happens to the masses, and the righteous can get swept up along with the wicked. But that's theologically difficult. It happens. It's a way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu conducts the world sometimes. We believe it. We believe that that can happen, and therefore we need another world in order to be able to make things right. But on the night of Pesach, which was the night where Klal Yisrael was told, your destiny is your destiny, by definition, you can't have... I'm just having this because it's what's happening to the world around me, and therefore I'm just stuck, I'm part of the world around me. No. It's about Chirus. It's about you. It's about a destiny and a purpose. Mitzrayim gets punished because they're choosing, they're just so far away from their destiny. The theological question about how Mitzrayim could be punished is resolved because of that understanding that it wasn't their destiny to be in that place. And that's the Cheirus Olam. That's the mindset, that's the eternal freedom which we're supposed to feel. That's the avoda that this translates into. I want to just close with one final thought on the notion of how this becomes a geula, the tefillah. Tefillah has as its core brachas. What do we call the tefillah that we daven every day? The Shmona Esrei. What's that short for? The Shmona Esrei brachas. Davening is a series of brachas. And brachas have a certain shape. What's the shape? Shem u'malchus. What's Shem u'malchus? Is that you say Hashem's name, and you also speak of His kingdom. Baruch Ata Hashem, Hashem's name, Elokeinu our God, Melech Ha'olam. The King of the Universe. The Rashba points out that brachas shift from speaking directly in the second person to speaking in the third person. For example, you say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam, Shakol Nieh Bidvarai. Blessed are you, Hashem, our God, King of the Universe, that everything was created with His word. You don't say, Shakol Nieh Bidvarecha. Everything was created with your word. We shift. There's a pattern like that in brachas. We shift from speaking to Hashem to speaking about Hashem. And the Rashba says that the way this works is that when you daven, you want to encounter Hashem's essence. But then you do that and you can't. It overwhelms. So then you take a step back and you address HaKadosh Baruch Hu's manifestations, his actions, the things which he does, not his essence. In a sense, that's shame versus malchus. Malchus is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes the covet, right? It's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to the world. The shame is Hashem himself, right? The shame is the shame hamayuchad. The shame is zeshemi le'olam, zeshemi le'ilum. Right? My name is hidden, right? We don't even pronounce Hashem's name properly because that's the unknowable. That's the unknowable. So tell me something. If it's the unknowable, why do we keep pushing to it and then pulling back and pushing to it and pulling back and pushing to it and pulling back? So have respect and say, I can't. So, Baruch Ata, Baruch Elokeinu Melech Haolam. But yet, Ata. And some of you might recall there was sat around this table a different time, right? That one of the great Bali Avaida, the Piazetzner Rebbe, told people to recognize when they daven that they're actually speaking directly to Hashem. They always say, people come up to me sometimes and they say, would the rabbi like a cup of tea? And I want to say, why don't you ask him? Right? We have this thing that we speak to people out of respect. We speak to them in the third person. I said Shemoneh Esrei this morning, and you know what I said to God? I said, you. You. Not him, you. And go figure. And the Piazza says, every time you say Ata Shemoneh Esrei, realize that you're actually standing in front of Hashem and saying, you. Not the contrast to him, but you. Talking to the Rosh. It's not a philosophical experience that there's a God out there. I'm talking to him right now, there, straight, direct. Right? And if you want to have a very excellent exercise to enhance your tefillah, just notice every time you say Ata in Shemoneh Esrei. It's unbelievable how many times you say you. The encounter of tefillah is to come in direct contact with Hashem. Yes. We recognize that when we come in contact, their contact with Hashem's essence, it's overwhelming. And we take a step back. And we speak about the business of tefillah, which is we have this request. Well, Hashem, you do this. This is a manifestation of your... This is your, you heal and you provide wisdom. And these are all manifestations. But you. And the reason why you have to encounter the essence of Hashem and tefillah, and that's at the core of tefillah, and that's at the core of bracha, is because that's geula l'tefillah. It's because if it's you talking, if it's avoda to Hashem, then it has to be you. Not a manifestation, not something that you do. It has to be you. You. You have a purpose. You're not chaymer. You're not material. You're shaped. You're formed. You have a purpose. You have a destiny. And that's at the core of the tefillah. Geula l'tefillah. We're not aimless. Hashem saw us lost someplace. He said, come on, I got to get them out. There's a place they have to go. There's things they have to do. There's people they have to see. There's mitzvahs they have to do. There's Torah they have to learn. They have a place in the world. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Am Yisrael, and that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to each and every one of us. That's Chayrus Aylam. May we be shaped by our purpose. May we assume the shape that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us in creation. Remember that on the night of Mitzrayim, what liberated us was we saw Him that could be nothing else. We saw Hashem's essence, not shaped by anything. And seeing that, made us realize who we were. Have a wonderful Yom Tov.